joined by Northfield Chief of Police Jeff Schrepfer and Northfield EMS Chief Tex, well, Brian, I suppose officially, Edwards. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for being here.
Love the dog.
Isn't she just the best? Yeah. She's the best.
Yeah. I think she found some crumbs on the floor or something.
So one of the reasons we've got the two of you guys in here together is because we've got a newbie chief, and we haven't subjected him to an interview with Mr. Edwards here. So we're just going to turn it over to you, Tex, and let you go.
So it's the battle of the chiefs is what you're
exactly. saying. Exactly. Exactly. Have you been on with Chief Nelson yet?
Tom scares me, so I haven't been on with him yet.
You know, one of these days, I just want all three of you sitting on as a panel.
There's not enough volume in the room for the egos. You know, I help bring it down a little bit, but you get those two guys in here.
Tom, if you're listening, come on over. All right.
I just heard him on the radio before I pulled up.
So, but no, I mean, you guys, EMS and the police obviously have to work very closely together. First of all, how is that relationship between the police and the EMS? I mean, and everyone get along, everything's fine there? Like, no turf wars or anything?
No, I'll say for my part, coming in now, about 7 months, going on 8 months for me, it's been a welcome relationship and a good working relationship between the two departments, and which is fun to see, because ultimately, at the end of the day, like we're here to talk about, is that we do work together, we're on many calls together, and so seeing those relationships of the officers knowing the medics and the medics knowing the officers is just great to see and working together. So.
Right, right. You guys, I would imagine, are called to quite a few of the same calls. I mean, you guys all show up at the same time on a lot of different things, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, in the city of Northfield, Northfield Police Department is our primary first response organization. Yep. Northfield NAFRS does not typically respond to most of the medical calls that we go to.
Okay.
They do have a algorithm for a call that says, yeah, we need to send fire and rescue on this call, but the majority of those they don't respond to. And that's, you know, it's a volunteer-staffed organization. It takes them away from their jobs when we don't really need that much help.
Right.
You know, we don't need 10 people showing up. Sometimes we just need one or two. I started working in Northfield in May of 96, and we've had a great relationship with the police department since that time, and probably predates that as well. That kind of stuff is cultural. It's not something that, you know, we just suddenly start doing, and it's great to have Jeff's folks show up on scene.
Yeah. So how does a medical call, how do we differentiate a medical call and a police call? What's the difference there, and how does dispatch figure that out?
So for the most part, I mean, especially if it comes in on 911, obviously, that dispatcher is trained to work through their set of questionings where they have a standard set of questions, like the monitor you look at is going to guide them through their set of questions, obviously start with the address, things like that, and what the emergency actually is. If they get to a point where, hey, this is a medical or looks to be a medical, that call will be transferred many times to the EMS side, but police will still be dispatched to that medical call as well. There are a few exceptions to that. If they're very what we would consider minor medical calls, of course, medical for anybody is usually not minor to them, but it could be minor nature to what we typically would go on as a police department. But yeah, we'll be dispatched, and then that call will be transferred to EMS to handle from there and be dispatched on their end.
Yeah, they typically don't respond to, say, congregant living facilities, assisted living facilities, because there's staff there that can help us out with that. But, yeah, you know, the distinctions, too, sometimes get a little blurry. We'll get 911 calls, and there's no clarity from the caller as to what the request is. So they might start us and law enforcement just in case.
Right.
The great thing about police officers responding to these calls is they're already out and about. They're in their squads. They're mobile. They're moving around. They may be seconds away from a call where we're 5 or 6 or 8 minutes. Oh, got to let somebody out. So they can get there a lot faster than we can and start rendering care, give us feedback, tell us what we might need to care for the patient. A car accident, for example. It's a big difference between having one victim and five victims, and
yes,
they can give us that information much earlier than we can get from even the caller sometimes.
All right. So I mean, you guys, there's training that I would imagine overlaps. I mean, you guys get some medical training, I would think. And what is training for like EMS? I should say what is the first responder medical training that you guys receive? That would be like Tex was saying, that something you can do right away.
So on the police side, we're not nearly as trained as right. the EMS side, obviously. So, I mean, as police officers, most of them are EMRs, emergency medical responders. We could have some EMTs. Truly, you could have some paramedics, too. And
yep.
I don't believe we have any here, but different police agencies could have some paramedics as well. But mm-hmm. We're definitely not trained to the same level as Texas staff is. So, but we our primary response would be we do have defibrillators. We have the major things to deal, or the main tools to deal with a major incident. So control the bleeding, help with breathing if it's doing CPR, defibrillator if we need to get to that stage. So tools outside of that would come into their crew.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But truly, most of the time, it's even though we're out on the street, Northfield EMS is very quick as well. So they'll be on our heels many times responding, so with much more advanced technology and abilities than we have.
We don't have any paramedics in this town. What
police
don't have any. I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. They have at least one EMT, Officer Reese.
Yeah.
Not sure if there's another, but you know, in order to become licensed as a peace officer in the state of Minnesota, yeah. you have to have had first responder training. Now, from what I understand, the state doesn't require registration as a first responder. You just have to have successfully completed that mm-hmm. training. Mm-hmm. Some of the schools require you to pass a written test. Some of them mm-hmm. require national certificate. It depends on the school.
Right. Right.
What we were able to do recently, so for the longest time, Northfield Police Department just did most of their training in-house. It's pretty limited, basic first aid and CPR, so mm-hmm. all the officers got that. Jeff's predecessor, Chief Elliott, said, you know what, I want to get all my folks back on the same page, have the same standard applied to their training across the board. So they reached out to us, and we were able to provide that training for them. We did that in a course that started in November and ended in February. It matched their schedule, so they weren't having to call in officers on their days mm-hmm, off to come in mm-hmm, for training. It kept their overtime costs low. We were able to provide it using our in-house instructors. And, you know, not only did we get everybody on the same page as far as their training, but it also helped strengthen that relationship. The officers, you know, because if you go into work as a police officer, you probably don't want to run medical calls and
right.
take care of that stuff. So there's always that level of anxiety or mm-hmm. apprehension about taking care of a patient, especially when you don't know exactly what
am I
doing.
Right.
So we were able to do a lot of hands-on skills building with the officers and relieve some of that anxiety and apprehension that existed out there. So.
You know, I didn't realize that EMS was set up to train like that. Do you do that with the fire department also?
We do.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a nice yep. little thing to have.
Yep. We have various contractual relationships with Elko New Market, Randolph Hampton and Lonsdale Fire Department, and we're working on one now with NAFRS
okay.
To provide that same level of training for them. We also do, we have a similar arrangements, a little bit different circumstances with both colleges.
Okay.
Mm. So, and right. do you have ongoing education too? So every so often they
yep,
check
we do.
Up.
Good. Yeah, we have a first responder class that's in the fall, and we have an EMT completion course that starts in the spring, and that's kind of an annual thing. And both classes together, it gives you the opportunity to set and test for the national mm-hmm. EMT test.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there used to be one level of training for Northfield cops, and then Chief Elliott elevated that a little bit. As a chief, how does that make you just feel better knowing your guys are? I mean, why is it important, I guess?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that I'll continue when I'm here is I want to see all the officers here be at least at EMR level, so that emergency medical responder, more than first aid level. Typically it was always first aid level is all that was needed. So as Tex hit on, it was the CPR type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel and we'll still continue to push that we need more training than that because we are first responding to these. So as he mentioned, we need that comfort level. And it's big for us as well. And I look at even myself, my training in history of being involved in the fire service of wanting that EMR, but I am trained by Allina, not to say that's right or wrong, but Allina would have different protocols than Northfield would have. So for Northfield officers to be trained by Northfield EMS is huge because we're responding with them. So for us to know their protocols, even though we don't know all of them, there's an expectation of, hey, let's have our officers understand what they're going to do when they get there, even though we don't have their abilities and technology and tools that they have. At least we know a rough idea of what they're going to do and what they expect.
You came from the state trooper's office. Did troopers get the same kind of training as what we're talking about here?
Yeah, and there we were North Memorial was our provider there. So so I've kind of been through North Memorial, then Allina, and now Northfield. So I mean, they're very similar. It's just there's different procedures and protocols each agency has, and it's better to be learned or taught by in-house than it is from an outside entity.
Okay, what is Steve's Law? And how does that help you guys help people better?
Steve's Law was passed in 2014, I believe.
Okay.
And it allows a person to call 911, make a request help or assistance for someone experiencing a drug-related overdose.
Oh, yeah.
And when law enforcement arrives... And this is more Jeff's technical area of expertise than mine, but basically it protects the caller and perhaps even other people there from certain levels of prosecution.
Okay.
So it encourages people to call and get help without fear of being arrested.
Right.
So now I think there's evolutions to that and what happens later on, but Jeff can speak to that a little better than I can.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things where what we don't want is people refusing to call 911 or scared to call 911 when their friend or loved one is essentially dying in front of them because they were using themselves or they are possessing themselves. So it adds that level of protection there of, hey, please call 911 to help your buddy, help your family member get the life-saving things that they need from EMS and law enforcement. So they have that protection built in with that law.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and it seems like a common sense kind of law too. I mean, if you're, because you'd hear about it all the time, or worse, you'd see it on TV or in a movie. You know, people are shooting up, and one guy starts dying. Like, I'm not calling the cops, man. I can't do that. And I mean, it's pretty nice to have something like that in place.
Which I will throw out with that as well is that, while they have the Narcan capability or naloxone, whatever you want to call it, there's areas around the city that it's free as well, including the police department lobby.
Right.
So if there are known users and somebody needs the Narcan, whether it's a family member or a friend, just a peace of mind for their loved one, they can come to the police department. It's in the lobby. It's free.
Okay.
There's other areas, including the library around the city. There's some on St. Olaf campus. So there's many locations around the city.
Is it something you can just go pick up, or do you actually have to, like,
no questions asked. So it's in our lobby. It's in a case in the lobby. It's in the library, like I said. It's a plastic box hanging on the wall. Come in, grab one. No questions asked.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, there's absolutely no reason for someone to not have naloxone available.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's, okay. What, okay, you know, I was going to ask this in a different sort of way, but you guys train our first responders. You guys train the cops and the fire department. Do you do anything with the public too? Or is there training that people in the general public should maybe just sort of seek out?
We don't have anything formal that we provide. We do CPR in first aid classes, based on the American Heart Association standards for businesses that request it. That's not a frequent thing, you know, maybe 2 or 3, 4 classes a year. We're trying to ramp that up a little bit to bring in some more business, because I feel like the more people know that stuff, the better. And a lot of industries, you know, I'll mention Post. I don't know whether this applies to them or not, but they have first response teams. They have an industrial safety team, and a lot of their folks want that training because they are, again, a lot of medical emergencies, your success is predicated on the time that it takes to get help to you. So if you can have somebody there immediately, the outcomes are generally a lot better than if it's delayed 5 or 10 minutes. We have done Narcan training in the past, but there's a lot of non-profit, not-for-profit groups that are taking have taken that over and take care of that for us. We do some bleeding control training. It depends on the request. Generally, that those are really one-off type classes that, you know, specific needs. Along those lines, though, one of the things we did with the first responder training that Northfield Police went through this past, and we had other students in the class, or a couple of firefighters in that class too, is I have developed a class that really focuses on officer self-care. So if they're involved in a lethal force encounter, they have the training and the tools necessary with them to save themselves.
Okay.
And that's kind of a unique nuance that we throw into the training.
That's interesting. Yeah. And I have been privileged to, a couple of years ago, there was a training, an entire like regional training done.
Yep.
At the middle school for an active shooter situation. And that was an amazing situation to watch the levels of cooperation that were happening there. And Brian, I know you were deeply involved in that. And I think Thad Monroe was, Officer Monroe was deeply involved in that too. How often does something like that come together?
We were just supposed to have it last weekend, but unfortunately we lost one of our officers' wives was buried last weekend. So we had to postpone that training. So every officer will go through it. So there's various courses out there right now with a similar thing. One of them is more regional. It's called Alert. But the nice thing is that we were trying to do here is we will send everybody through Alert class, which is, like I said, regional. But Tex has been involved and Thad's been involved with HURT, it's called. Very similar. It's just involving more fire and EMS response. I think what a lot of the public doesn't understand, if we have that worst-case scenario in the terrible day that you have that active shooter in a school, in a church, whatever it is, that, yes, we're going in as law enforcement to stop the threat, but his crew is following right on our
heels. Yeah.
And so they didn't sign up for that job.
Right.
I mean, it's part of ours, unfortunately, but they're now training with us to be right on our heels going in to try and save as many lives as we can. We keep going after the threat. They come in right on our heels to try and save lives.
That was one of the points you made, Texter, in that that training, was that you guys have to go in and get the wounded.
Yeah, and what I tell the students is law enforcement stops the killing, and we stop the dying.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is. Right. Yeah. Well, guys, it's good to see both of you. And is there anything else you guys want to bring up while we got you both here? Any tales you want to tell about the other or anything like that?
The only thing I would add, continuation of our conversation, is that folks shouldn't be alarmed when law enforcement shows up after they've called, my husband's having chest pain, or somebody fell out of a window or slipped on the ice or whatever. Law enforcement is there to support EMS and help the patient get that care immediately available to them as soon as they possibly can. Things can change. You know, there might have been a crime that was involved, but the primary responsibility of that officer is to help the patient, help EMS, protect us if necessary, which fortunately around here is an extremely rare need. But folks shouldn't be surprised when they show up.
Right.
Yeah. Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Seconds and minutes in this save lives. So if, like we've been talking, if the officers are on the street and can first respond, and that they're there 30 seconds before EMS, if it's a tourniquet or something like that, that could be the difference between life and death. So,
common sense stuff.
Yes.
Guys, thanks a ton. It's good to see you both. Chief Schepfer, Chief Edwards. We are privileged to have guys like you taking care of the community. That's for sure.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you.